bring this down, Lee? Good evening, my name's Teresa. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here, grateful to be sober because of a loving God. Okay. So far, so good. Got that out. Oh my goodness. I know. I'm going to go home thinking that about the Green Awning is your friend. Green Awning is your friend. Everywhere in L.A., I'm going to be like, Green Awning, follow. Anyway. My heart's pounding. Okay. Ooh. So many people. So many friends. I got a lot of family out here. Oh my God. Great balls of fire. And these three are like...
We're done.
You're done, right? Just waiting for me to do something. Okay. Oh, my goodness. And also, I'm a little confused. I don't know which language to speak. Hold on. I love Miami so much because I just, the Puerto Rican is really coming out of me. So I'm just trying to regroup, you know what I mean? I'm like, anything! Okay, wait a minute. Boricuas in the house and Cubans. We got the delegate from Puerto Rico. I saw him. He's somewhere. That is just awesome. Oh my goodness. Lots going on. Let me get that out. Maybe my heart won't pound so much. I am just in awe. I am so honored. The committee's been so gracious. Just the love. You know, I still trip out on the love. You know? On the love. All you gotta be is a drunk. And I've seen, and the speakers that we have this weekend for me to share this podium with, I cannot describe to you what that means to me. They're like giants. You listen to them, especially, you know, I was listening to Ralph earlier and I was just sitting there crying. This is somebody I heard when I had like a day or two, you know, and sat in that front seat. We're from the same home group. And just hung on to every word, and I'm still sitting there hanging on every word, and it just fills my spirit, and it fills my heart, and you set the example, and I thank you for that. So I'm just like really filled. I had some stuff to get out, and Ralph patiently listened to me the other night, and I thank you for that. Sandy, I love Sandy B. Just so much. Bob, Darryl, there's just so many of you, I'm just, you know, just, I don't know. Just trips me out. Did Bill and Bob ever think? So I want to, again, thank the committee. There's so much work that goes into this, and so many of the troopers and the people putting up chairs and working so hard. And Aaron, my goodness, every time I see him, he's just running, looking like stressed. Takes a moment, you know, just it's really something, and they're staying sober. So if anybody is not part of something like this, I would really suggest you consider it for the year coming. I seen one of my long lost sponsees. I'm kind of tripping out. I'm so glad that she's here and she's alive. I was so worried. Rita, I just saw her. That kind of filled my heart. Been praying for her. God has a sense of humor, huh? At no time in my life did I ever think that my experience can benefit others. Huh? That all the life that seemed to be tragic would become an asset. I want to welcome anyone who's new. Welcome home. We've been praying for you. And I hope you have the gift of desperation. And I really hope you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And just keep coming back. Don't drink before the meeting, during the meeting, and after the meeting. That's important because people think you say keep coming back, they could drink and come back, and drink and come back. That's not what that means. Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle happens. And let us love you till you can learn to love yourself. If you be new, I ask you to listen to the similarities and not the differences. I was told when I got here was to examine my relationship with alcohol, to get honest for the first time in my life, and to concede to my innermost self that I be truly alcoholic. And if you be new, I wish that for you. And as you listen to the similarities and not the differences, you get to ask yourself a couple of questions like, that happened to me, I felt that way too, and more importantly, perhaps this program can work for me. To be new, I so identify. For some reason today, I've been thinking, this whole weekend I've been here, I've been thinking about how when I was new, I came to a lot of conferences. They brought me to conferences very early in my recovery, and sitting in those chairs and seeing people up here, I was just in awe of the stories that I heard, that people had done what I'd done or seen what I'd seen or felt the way I felt, and it was like they were glowing or something. And so for me, it's just an honor to be able to do what so many of you that have been up here before did for me. That's just how I feel about it. I don't think I can ever give back. And all the old timers, thank you so much for my life and my sobriety. I still want what you have. And I ask you to keep coming back because I need you. The newcomer is the most important person in the room, but you are too. Each and every one of you are so important to me in the rooms. I think about the ones that just sit up straight and pay attention. Each and every one of us is real significant to any meeting. But I need the old timers. I need you to keep coming back and setting the example and sharing your experience, strength, and hope to let me know that I too can recover one day at a time. My sobriety date is March 29, 1990. But for the grace of God, I have been privileged one day at a time to stay sober 20 years. It still freaks me out. I'm still shocked and amazed. Funny thing is, I can't take any credit for it. I wish I could pat myself on the back and say, good job, kid. I haven't pulled myself up from the bootstraps and I haven't figured it out. I've just done what you've done. And nobody has lied to me in Alcoholics Anonymous. And for that, I'm truly grateful for a loving God, the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, great sponsorship, and the honor to work with others. If you be new, there's music in these rooms, and it is the language of the heart. It is the depth and weight that I have found only in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that no one else has been ever to capture my attention like you have. And if you be new, I hope you hear the music. And you don't hear it in your head. It goes past your disease that is centered in your thinking, and it goes straight into your heart, and a seed is planted. And you can't never drink the same again.
We ruin your drinking forever. This is my first time in the program. I've been on a lot of 12-step calls that people have had the seed planted and it ain't cute. They don't look like they're having fun. I've been on 12-step calls where they're like, you know, drinking vodka, throwing up, going, this too shall pass. Rarely ever seen a person fail. I'm like, oh my God. I'd be like, I'm so sorry. You're not having fun. You gotta come back. I had a woman call me once. She was drinking and she called me on the phone and she was like, I'm listening to you on the CD and I'm drinking. And I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I so feel for you. You just need to go to a meeting. This is a non-issue at this point. You don't listen to me and drink. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that's like, talk about messing up somebody's high, you know? And if you knew, they used to tell me, and if you don't want what we have, we'll gladly refund you of your misery. We share in a general way what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now, and there's a reason for that. There are many stories in Alcoholics Anonymous. This is just my story, but I'm a drunk. So I get to share with you my relationship with alcohol. Certainly at the time that I was having that relationship, I wouldn't be able to articulate it in the way I'm about to. But you see, alcohol was my lover. It was my friend. It was my companion. Alcohol told me, if nobody loves you, I love you. If nobody wants you, I want you. I'm born addicted to this disease called alcoholism. I've been drinking since fetus. And I know, like Ralph was saying, we like to out, you know, story each other, but that's my story. My mother fed me alcohol in the womb. And alcohol was given to me moving forward, coming out of my mother's womb. My grandmother used to tell me stories on how that was the only way to keep me quiet, was to put alcohol in my bottle. And a lot of things went on in my house. You know, it's so funny, we talk about why am I an alcoholic, and I don't get to blame alcoholism or my alcoholism on my family. And for a long time in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I blamed my mother. Because many of you, I saw that it seemed as though you had a choice. So someone passed you a drink and you drank it and then you crossed some invisible line, but alcohol was given to me before I even came into this world. And so I had to go beyond the womb space to take responsibility for my drinking. Talk about going deep. Had a soul contract. And a lot of things went on. You would call it incomprehensible demoralization of the words you use around here. You call it dysfunctional. But it was a normal way of living for me, and alcohol served itself well in my life. So you see, when my virginity was taken away from me when I was 5 years old, alcohol told me, it don't matter. When I went through all the molestation and all the physical abuse and sexual abuse, alcohol said, it doesn't hurt. So what, you bleeding? Just clean it up and keep walking. You're going to be all right. Put a smile on your face. Fix your hair. Everything is okay. You have nothing to worry about. You and me against the world. I don't know if alcohol talked to you, but that's the way it talked to me. I didn't play with dolls and hopscotch and jump rope or in the sand park.
I've played in shooting galleries and crack houses and bars and clubs. I like the smell of the leather in the bars and the dirty rugs and the dark rooms. That's where I spent all my time. Alcohol allowed me to go from room to room. Whoever wanted to take turns with my body, men or women, I never asked any questions. Alcohol told me you don't have to ask any questions. Just go in whatever room they want you to. Or you can ask them all to just join together and do it all at once. Alcohol gave me all the answers and allowed me to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night. Alcohol told me when it was time to go to work and when it wasn't. Where I was going to live, where I wasn't going to live. If I was in a relationship, if I was not, and who I was in a relationship with. Alcohol dictated every area of my life, and I was very comfortable with that idea. I left home at 14. I had my own business. I lived with a man who was 26, 11 years my senior. Beat me on a daily basis. You couldn't have told me that wasn't love. That was my man. That was my papi, Ralph. I drank Southern Comfort and it was all good. He loved me. You call that dysfunctional. That's just the way I lived. You call me a survivor. I don't know. We got all these adjectives and titles and labels for him. That was just my life. So I drank to breathe. Most people would even think that I didn't have a problem with alcohol. We were talking about that during dinner. I used to sip my drink. We all were different type of alcoholics and different relationships with alcohol. And I remember when I had to look at mine, I had to ask myself some questions. If I completely compared myself to you, I would think I didn't have a problem. I didn't dance butt naked on the table. I didn't chug a lug. I don't remember saying I'm only going to have one and I end up having 100. I drank the finest wines and I drank cognac. I drank Cavassier and I sipped my drinks. I didn't need to go to parties. I didn't need to drink out of a brown bag. I didn't need to hang out with you. I had my own and I didn't share. See, the reason why I didn't have two or three or four drinks, I remember the first time I ever got really sick behind drinking was on prom night. And the gentleman that took me there had something called peppermint snipes or snobs or ayahuasca. I still don't know what that was. Peppermint something. It was thick. It was like a liqueur. And it made me sick and I threw up. And I never touched that stuff again. Because, you see, I wasn't going to be a drunk like my mother. And since I had been drinking since fetus, it wasn't necessary for me to chug a lug. Alcohol was a part of my blood system. I stayed drunk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't need to drink a lot. It's a part of who I am. It's a part of my being. And it was easy for me to look at you, fall down and get drunk and act silly and go, look at them. That ain't me. I made sure I always had a smile on my face, my hair was done, my outfit was cute. Always had to look good on the outside. Never knew I was dying on the inside. I tell people the good old days for me is going to some bar or club and seeing somebody that I like. I don't have a whole lot of criteria. I just look at you and go, you, I want to sleep with you. That's it. You and I leave, you bring four or five of your friends, the more the merrier. I don't ask no questions. We go to some hotel or somebody's house, and somewhere in that night, I get gang raped, sodomized, and pistol whipped. I go to the bathroom, I fix my hair, I put on my makeup, I take a drink, and I go back out there and I do it all over again. Those are the good old days. for me. So you see, alcohol allowed me to get through this thing called life, and I really thought it was good. I never questioned. I didn't do New Year's resolution. I didn't say tomorrow is going to be different. I didn't even wish I didn't want to be here. I didn't question existing. I thought I had it going on. My heroes, my role models are pimps, dealers, hustlers, hoes. And those were my uncles and my aunts and my cousins, not the people in the neighborhood. That was in my house. The same thing that was going on in the projects in New York City was the same thing that was going on in the mountains in Puerto Rico. I saw nothing different. People in my family, when you die with your drink of choice in your coffin. We take pictures with you. Everyone in my family has died from this disease, whether it's kidney failure, cirrhosis of the liver, falling down, cracking your skull, getting shot, ODing. Everybody has diabetes, they have gangrene, you cut off their legs, more reason to drink. You ain't got no legs. How are you going to stop drinking and you ain't got no legs? You know, that don't make no sense. I don't remember thinking to my uncle, no, don't drink. You're not going to say that to my uncle, don't drink. He got no legs. To this day, when I go to Puerto Rico, it's the same thing going on. My cousins pick me up from the airport and they got to smoke a joint before they go on the road. I buy them a six-pack and it's all good. I ain't mad at them. They can't drive sober. I'm not going to try to switch it up now. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, do your thing. Vete, smoke your joint. Here's the six-pack. Let's go. Because my cousin will tell you, look, okay, I see three roads, and I stay on the one in the middle, okay? They don't know how to drive sober. We're going to have an accident if I ask them not to do that. If you've been to Puerto Rico, it's a very narrow mountain. You can fall off very easily. You have to leave them alone. In my family, the only person that has a problem or considered to have a problem is somebody who don't have no teeth and who ain't got no job. As long as you got your teeth and you got a job, it's all good. Quite comical. I have a cousin right now in the mountains with no teeth and no job, and we talk about her all the time. Mira Nancy! Anyway, bendito. Feel bad for her. We're all doing what she does, but she just ain't got no teeth. You know what I mean? Doing it. So she's like a problem. Talk about insanity. Dysfunction. Incomprehensible demoralization. That was my life. It looked good. It smelled good. If you OD'd, I put you in the closet. I walked down the street with my cousin. He got shot. Oh, well, can't hang out with him no more. I don't remember tripping out on that kind of stuff. That happened to me. My cousin Louie, we were walking, he got shot. I was like, oh, man, you know. There's Louie. Now we can't hang out. Now he's dead. And I didn't stay for the police. I ain't going to hospital, nothing. I went home. I don't know. Something happened to Louie. That's a crazy life, man. I think about that life. That was insane. The insanity. Alcohol worked. It worked well. That's almost like the green awning sound, right? Alcohol is your friend. Follow the alcohol. That's what I deserve, Bob. I got a flashback too, just like you did. Alcohol is your friend. Anyway. Ooh. I went to Catholic school. I I put a uniform on and a smile on my face, and I said the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Pledge of Allegiance. I went to confession on Saturday. I sang in the choir on Sunday. That don't mean I have a relationship with God. I was going to church. My relationship with God was interesting then. I didn't understand. Nothing made sense. The only thing that made sense in my world was King alcohol. It made perfect sense to me. It told me I don't have to like you. I don't have to do anything with you. I don't need nobody. I need nothing. Stay away. It's just you and me, and it's all good. I remember when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I grieved that relationship with alcohol for my first year. I wore black. I was in mourning when I got here. There's some people, newcomers, they look real good today, right? They're all happy. Hey, I'm in AA. I'm like, what? All right, I'm confused. I'm not the type of drunk that had a couple of martinis, woke up with a stranger, ran her car in a tree and said, maybe I should go to AA. That's not me. I didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous because of the consequences of my drinking. Consequences didn't get my attention. What happened to a drunk like me? When the world that I lived was normal and I thought it went well, what happened? All I know is that at the age of 24, I woke up one morning, the sun came through the window, and it burned my skin. And I didn't even know what it was. That's all I know. It was just something very bright, and it was coming through the window, and I didn't know what it was. And I was asking somebody to turn it off. And they told me that's the sun. It's as though at the age of 24 I was born, or I woke up into this world that I didn't know anything about. My lover, my companion, and my friend, the one that told me that it would never leave me, and that it would always love me, it would always take care of me, all of a sudden at the age of 24 it turned its back on me, and it was no longer doing what it had always done since fetus. And it left me emotionally retarded, with no coping skills, distorted perception of everything and everybody. Colors confused me. Trees and things that were, I don't know, it was weird. Things were green. All I saw was a lot of colors. Things were green and there was purples and they were, yeah, it was weird. I didn't understand. I don't even know if that's maybe the way the baby sees when they're born. And I was scared. I was thrusted into a world that I did not know how to live. And the same things that have been going on for 24 years of my life were still going on. The only difference is that now I was present for them. That's scary. I always use this example because it really depicts what happened to me. I was sitting on the bar stool in the neighborhood bar that I like. I'm VIP there. They still know me. In New York, the bars don't close. In California, everybody starts partying at 2. I don't understand. Maybe that's why there's so many people sober. Anyway, whatever. Okay? So, but there, they don't close. They only close for like an hour so they could clean up and then they open up again. And I get to stay. That's what makes me VIP. I didn't know that today you call that a bar fly. Anyway. But I just remember that I'm sitting in the bar stool, and I'm drinking and sipping on my Cavassier, and I'm looking at you, and you still ugly. That tripped me out, yo! I remember that. I don't ever want to forget that. That was horrible. I was going, oh my God, you know, drink again. Oh my God, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
You were supposed to transform by now. Those are the rules. We know how they go. Why aren't you transforming? We have a problem. Because I gotta go sleep with you in a minute. Oh my God. How are we gonna do this? That's what happened to me. I don't know how to do this. You ugly. I gotta sleep with you. I don't know how to do something different. This thing, I drink it. It changes the situation. I'm present. I'm scared. I wanna die. My bottom took 6 months. 6 months of that. Now I'm chasing and I'm hustling and I'm running and I'm looking. I like the way Dr. Bob says, all I know is I'm trying to get tight. Yo. I'm trying to get tight. I want the good old days back. I want the days back where it don't matter. You tell me alcohol stopped working for me. I hear some people today, they said alcohol still works for me. And I'm like, and you here? I don't understand. Why are you here? They sent you by the court or something? Because if alcohol is working for you, my hat is off for you. Have one for me. I ain't mad at you. I have people, they relapse, they call me, I'm drinking. I'm like, you having fun? Is it good? Have one for me. Don't feel bad. That's what we do. We drink. Keep drinking. Until it don't work no more. It stopped working in my life. It stopped serving and doing for me. I was a servant to alcohol. I went where it told me to go. Now I don't know where to go. Now I don't know how to get up. I don't know how to wake up. I don't know how to go to bed. I can't take a shower. I can't walk across the room. I don't know how to do nothing. So I'm sitting and I'm waiting and I'm funky and I'm stinky and I'm nasty. And I'm just trying to get tight and you still ugly. Ay, Dios mío. That was crazy. Needless to say, sobriety has been something for me, huh? I was scared. I'm drinking because I have to. Ain't got to do no more that I want to or that it looks cute. I have to. I never knew that I was shaking. I never knew that when you don't drink, you get sick. I never knew that. All of a sudden, I'm sick. I'm shaking. My head's pounding. My skin hurts. I don't understand what happened. I had always burned bridges. Always. And when you left, I said, go. I don't need you. I don't need nobody. Go. Bye. Now all of a sudden, I wanted to know, where's everybody going? What happened? Where are you going? Why you don't want to be with me? I didn't understand. I always burn bridges. Why did it start to matter all of a sudden? I remember I saw the look of my grandmother's face. I love my abuelita. I treated her so bad. And I will go to her house and I will be funky and nasty and I will be so arrogant and tell her to mind her business and get out of my face and go get me something to eat or give me some money. And all of a sudden, I was noticing this look on her face, like of pity and disgust. You know, I had never noticed that before. How long had Abuela been looking like that? And no matter what I did, I couldn't wash that away. I couldn't get rid of that. Look, the picture of that. It was like haunting me. And then I go to my father's house and my father wasn't talking to me. When did daddy stop talking to me? I don't know what happened here. Why did it start to matter? The only thing left for me to do was to call on death. I regretted every breath that I took. But you see, I'm still doing incomprehensible, demoralizing things. And I'm present. And I just want to die. But death wouldn't come and get me. I owe this Colombian 2 kilos. I still do. I still do. He knew me since I was a little girl. And I owe him 2 kilos, and I had a contract out for my life. And I went looking for him so he could take my life. And I remember I went to the bar and I said, tell so-and-so I'm here. And he said, I'm going to go get him. And I sat in that bar for 2 hours looking at that door waiting for that man to come in and take me out. And he never came. He never came. I just wanted him to come and take me out. That man never came. I'm very dramatic. I always say I love West Side Story because I'm Puerto Rican. So it's kind of like that, you know? Take me to Chino, you know, back stuff. I'm here, Chino. I did all that. I love that movie. I do that to some of my sponsees. They come to the house, they're upset. I put on West Side Story. They were like this. Like, it's not working. They're like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, all right, whatever. Open up the big book. Anyway. That always works for me. But anyway. Oh, my goodness. I'm crazy. I'm a mess. And he never came. I still have that contract out for my life. I had to go back and make amends. If not, I would always be in hiding. I made my amends to him, and I asked him what is it that I could do, and he said that my amends to him was that I stay clean and sober. That's God. I need you to know that was God. People told me that don't happen. He told me I needed to stay sober, and the day that I didn't was the day that my life belonged to him. So when I tell you for me to drink is to die... I don't mean it symbolically. He's gonna say, and he don't have no small print until you're ready to go back to AA, okay? The funny thing about that is that don't keep me sober. I'm a real alcoholic. I suffer from something that's deep, man. That don't keep me sober. It's a great motivator, but don't keep me sober. Trust me, if I'm not in the middle of the herd of Unity Recovery and Service, he'd be the first person I knock on his door and ask him to hook me up. Are you kidding me? I know what kind of alcoholic I am. That don't keep me sober. I better not get that twisted. I'll ask him to hook me up. You know how we do. Okay, I know I owe you, but let's work this out. I like how Ralph says, thank God that God don't make pain comfortable, right? Something like that. Something like that, mira, whatever. Jeez. Don't make misery comfortable, that's the word. I was miserable. I was in a lot of pain and I was sick. And the circumstances of my bottom are just a circumstance. The bottom had happened inside of me. My insides was hurting. The hole went deep. I'm pregnant on my 4th child. I've lost 3 prior. All my babies fall out in toilets and in floors. I never kept a child. My womb was always so polluted and so damaged that even to this day when I go to the doctor, they remind me how damaged I am on the inside. And most of the time, I wouldn't even know I was pregnant, and I would just notice it when it would fall in the toilet or in the floor, and I would just go, oh my goodness, what do you know? Look at that, I was pregnant. And I would just clean it up and keep walking. Alcohol told me it don't matter, you'll be fine, clean it up. But this time, I don't know, that baby was doing something weird to my body, and it was doing some strange things, and I didn't understand why it didn't fall out in the toilet and the floor like the other babies. I didn't understand. I just, when I think about that time in my life, I have to share with how confused I was. I remember I was so confused. What's going on? Just get a grip. Work it out. Shake it off. Something. I walk down alleys 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I dare you to come up on me. Now all of a sudden I'm paranoid? What is that? I ain't no punk. I'm little. You know the littlest ones you gotta watch out for. Okay, nobody, everybody looking at me like, her? Yes, me, of course. We're bad. The little people are bad. You don't see, you know what I mean? We tiny. We're like, oh, we crazy. The big person, they're like squishy and warm. You know, the big person, whatever. Little people, we're scary. You ever seen that movie? That little doll? Like that. And my head going, I was sassy. I can't do it that much no more. I'd be like, whatever, blah, 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 and all this. Just bad. Now I ain't bad no more. As I said, I'm dirty, I'm funky, I'm nasty, I haven't bathed, I'm homeless. I'm sleeping wherever I can, with whoever I can. I'm noticing. I'm pregnant. The baby's doing weird things to my body. And the circumstances of my bottom is this. This story's not going to change. It just ain't. I hope I remember it like yesterday and never forget it. You told me don't you ever forget your last drunk, and this is it. I was hanging out with the father of that child. We forgot something. I forgot something. We left one another. I just remember we were in Queens at the time. I left. I don't know where I was going. He went somewhere. I went somewhere. I forgot something. I still don't remember what I forgot. I went to where he went to. I went in the room. I opened up the door, and I caught him sleeping with a guy. Those are the circumstances of my bottom. I always say his bottom was my bottom. He doesn't like that story. But he was only doing what we normally do. That was not unusual. But this day was different. I walked on him sleeping with a guy and I said, I'm done. I find it quite comical to this day. With all the things that I've been through in my life, I walk in with my boyfriend sleeping with a guy and I go, I'm done. I was like, I need help. I got a problem. I was like, this is too much. It's more like pistol with me, but not that. You know what I mean? But what's happening? I think that's funny. I say that's God. I do. I believe that's God. We have all the signs. Ralph talked about it. All the signs along the way. I truly believe that God had been putting signs along the way for a while. And he was saying to himself, if this don't get her... What am I going to do to get her attention? It worked. I was like, oh my God. And he was like this and whatever. And I left him and I did the aimless walk. The walk out into the abyss. I remember that walk. No purpose, no agenda, no destination, just a walk, man. Looking for a cliff. Ooh, I remember that walk. And I ended up in a church. Queens Boulevard, on Parsons Boulevard in Queens, Jamaica, Queens. Still when I go to New York, I visit that church. It has a red door made out of wood with those steel metal nails. The door handle is brown and square and it's heavy. And it's right next to a pizza plate. And I remember I opened up that door and I heard that thump. And I stepped inside that church. And I sat down and I felt a presence. It
It's a presence that I still feel in the rooms. And I said a prayer. That's what happened. I said a prayer. I prayed out to a God that I had renounced a long time ago. And I don't know if I was in the depths of anything or that I was really, really sincere, or I can't tell you. All I know is that I said a prayer. It's a prayer that gets most of us here that I don't hear a lot about today. And perhaps it was a prayer that came from the depths of my soul. All I know that after I said that prayer, I was picked up and brought 3,000 miles into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had no idea that prayer was going to change my life. None. And what I asked God in that moment was to please allow me to feel the presence that I felt in that church inside of me. I just wanted one moment for my head to shut up, my skin to stop crawling, and for my stomach to stop turning. That's all. Just for a moment. And my life has changed from that prayer. That still trips me out. Especially somebody like me. It really, how could that God even listen to me? Of course I am dirty on the inside and out. I am worthless. I am nothing. And I am nobody. Listen to me. Was I desperate? Was I tired? Was that part of the plan all along? Did I surrender in that moment? All I know is my life changed from that moment moving forward. And I go to my daddy. I tell daddy I need help. I don't ask nobody for help. That was crazy that came out of my mouth. I don't ask nobody. I ain't no punk. I get on a Greyhound bus and I head out to California. We have a tradition around here. It's called attraction rather than promotion. It's one that I hold true and dear to my heart. It's something that I intentionally pay attention to, and I pray and I ask God to do for me that I can be an attraction rather than what I'm saying out of my mouth. I remember when we got sober, I used to hear, walk like you talk. Wherever I go, whether I'm at 7-Eleven, whether I'm walking down the street, I've met some people, they say I'm like the walking big book. Some people say, I've seen Alcoholics Anonymous, I've seen the big book in you before I even picked up the book. By just a smile, or a hug, or a laugh, or a hand, or a nod. Or just that I walk with my head up. There's a sense and a presence when I walk in the room. People see that, because that's what I saw in you. Before you said a word. I love when Abby knocked on the door and came to see Bill. I love that story, because it was what Bill saw that captured his attention first. Then what he heard, he saw this gleam in his eye. And that happened for me. My mother currently has 24 years of sobriety, and I have a cousin that has 23. And when I used to come to California, they used to bring me to meetings. And I would drink before, during, and after. And perhaps you ruined my drinking. And the seed was planted, I didn't even know I was paying attention. But you see, when I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, I remember after sitting in the living room with Daddy, I said, I gotta go to California. That's the sober state. Where the sober people are. That's still my relationship with California. I'm a real alcoholic. If I'm sure if I wanted to, I'll find all the drugs. But I remember the gleam in their eye, the smiles and the laughter. Oh, I love the way we laugh. I love to laugh.
that little kid, my sponsor had me look at babies, you know, kids, and laugh so I could learn that laugh. You know what I mean? Because that's why I laugh like that. Because I used to go around kids, you know, you tickle them, and they laugh. Oh, I love it. I never had experienced that before in my life. It's so genuine. It's so freeing. It's so pure. I don't know. I had to, like, tickle them, and they laugh. Oh, my goodness, I love how they laugh. And that's the way we laugh in the rooms. You know, that belly laughter that we do around here. And I got on a Greyhound bus, and that's where I detoxed. I detoxed on a Greyhound bus. I also share that story with the hopes that one day I can make amends to the person who was sitting next to me. I know it was rough for him or her, I don't even know where it was. I had my last drink in El Paso, Texas. I share this because I hope to one day see this gentleman, maybe in some way he can receive my gratitude. I really believe this man helped, you know, through God's who saved my life. I was very sick, very, very sick. And I heard him from a distance, and he kept saying, I know what you need. Come with me. Come with me. I know what you need. And so he put my arm around his neck, and he carried me just like a war victim, you know, like a warrior, like they do in the war. And he took me around the corner from the bus depot, a bar in El Paso, and he ordered a drink. He held it to my mouth. I was shaking so bad I couldn't hold it. And I remember slopping it up like a dog that had been out of water. I went. You see, I haven't been without a drink since fetus. I was sick, you see. I was drinking because I had to. It had nothing about getting tight. I just had to. My body needed it. And I think that man helped to save my life. I don't know if I would have made it all the way to California. And I arrived in downtown Los Angeles on March 29, 1990, wearing a size 1 pair of pants, 2 pants underneath. My hair was matted in all different sizes and dirty and a mess. I had a huge sweatshirt. It was pink with flowers. I don't know where I got that from. Not cute. 4 months pregnant with a dead baby in my belly. I didn't have a heartbeat by the time I got to California. And my mother picked me up from downtown Union Station. And she dropped me off in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm like a baby in a baby basket left at the doorsteps of AA. I get a little emotional when I talk about all those that were there when I got there because they were the ones that picked up the basket. It's as though I've been adopted in here and I've had to learn a whole new way of life and I had to be spoon-fed and nurtured and loved and taught all over again. But you see, I came in here completely empty and lost and confused. Just like a baby, I had no idea how to exist and live in this thing called life without my best friend who had just betrayed me. And the old-timers loved me. My mother left me. She didn't hang out. You told her to leave. She couldn't help me. She was the attraction. She needed to go. Because I could manipulate her, I could take advantage of her, I could use her, she needed to be removed. And I was 3,000 miles from New York City in California at back to base, Crenshaw Alano. My home is 9604 in Crenshaw Alano, and I sat in that room, and that was it, man. This was the last house on the block, yo. This was the emergency room. And I didn't care what kind of credentials you had. I got 20 bullet holes in me. All I need to know is that you got a needle and a thread. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what this was about. I didn't know what we were going to do. This is it. All I knew is I can't live like that no more. And if you people can't help me, somebody needs to blow my brains out. Hmm.
Oh, has my life changed? They were tough on me when I got here, and for that I am grateful. They didn't masturbate my disease. They didn't co-sign my insanity. They didn't sugarcoat. And I came in damaged. Some people look at me and think it was easy. I look at, sponsees, I'm like, are you joking? I used to hear some are sicker than others, some are sicker than most, and I'm sicker than them all. I had a lot of baggage when I came in here. I didn't even know how to eat. I didn't know about the four food groups. I didn't even know there was a chair and you're supposed to sit in it. I had to be taught how to bathe. They took me and showed me how to take a bath. And I'm all bad, right? I'm all that. I don't even know how to bathe. I don't even know that that's soap. And how you're supposed to smell. I knew nothing. I was like a baby. They told me to sit down, shut up, and listen. And take the cotton out of my ears, put it in my mouth, that my best thinking got me here. They told me to sit in the front and listen like the dying only could. And to examine my relationship with alcohol. That's what they told me to do, and that's what I did. I'm 3,000 miles from my house. This is it. There are things that they share with me when I got here that still rings true in my head. That's why I listen to him. I start crying. I used to hear him all the time. Could you imagine listening to that for the last 20 years? Could you imagine? It's like, follow the green warning. Follow, it's like that. I'm so grateful that the message that was carried to me was the same message that Evie carried to Bill, that Bill carried to Bob. That's important to me. It's very important. I love the legacy and the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. I consider those my family members. I got pictures of them in my house. I go, that's Uncle Bill, that's Auntie Ann, and Lois, and Uncle Bob. My friends be like, whatever. Uncle Abby, those pictures we have back here, those. And I'd be like, I got that in my house. That's my family. Right there. Those are my ancestors. They are. I'd be praying to Bill. I'd be praying, Bill. I'm channeling Bill. You think I'm playing? I remember I went to Dr. Bob's house. As soon as I walked in, I was crying like a baby. It was ridiculous. I took pictures with that coffee pot. It was funny. I'm like, look at me. This program is really doing something. Me, right? This Boricua bag with a coffee pot. Ooh. The coffee pot, This is crazy. They sat in this bed. Anyway, I was tripping. I was given the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was given a sponsor. I didn't pick one. They gave me one. And I thanked them for that. I don't know how to pick one. I say I always would have picked a little old lady in the corner with an oxygen tank who could barely talk. I'd be like, her. I pick her. She don't tell me what to do. My sponsor had a mohawk. She had a ring with a key in her ear and a glove. That was Kimberly. She changed her name every week. Diamond, Kimberly, all these people. I didn't care. That woman had a working knowledge of the steps in the book and she was sober. And she didn't ask me to do anything that she wasn't doing. And I just did what she did. That's all I know. She was sober. That's all I don't care about the mohawk. I've hung out with worse, okay? I've looked worse. You know what I mean? Whatever, mohawk, I don't care. A glove like Michael Jackson, I don't care. I don't care.
The sponsor that I have today, she is the pimp of all pimps. I love her. People look at her, she got her cane, but she was gangster. And I have a sponsor one time said, well, I was like, I'm talking to Buddha in a beanie. She looks gangster, but she's so spiritual. She sounds like Confucius. I love my sponsor. People look at me like, look at her, she's so gangster. Gangster, but she's spiritual. She has a working knowledge of the steps in the book, and she has a relationship with God. I wanted what you had. What did you have? Was it your outfit? Was it the car you were driving? Money, no money, the house? We're all attracted to different things. What you had was that you were sober for 24 hours without killing yourself or somebody else. The very first thing that Alcoholics Anonymous gave me was the possibility that living just might not be so bad. And I was willing to go to any lengths. They told me that I must tap into a source of power, for lack of power was my dilemma. Where was I to find this power? In the steps, it ain't that deep. I used to hear, keep it simple, stupid. Don't listen to the stinking thinking committee between your ears. They immediately put me to service. I stay busy. My sponsor began to give me a working knowledge of the steps in the book. And was I uncomfortable? Absolutely. I have done the uncomfortable until it became comfortable. There's nothing I've done around here that I've been like, woohoo, this is fantastic. With all the tumultuous years that I lived for 24 years of my life, going on 25 until I came in here, I wasn't present for those experiences. I didn't feel them. I didn't examine them. I have explored them and felt them and digested them here in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've relived all of that. Sober. I've had to clean house, trust in God, and be of service. They have burned that into my consciousness. I used to hear that feelings weren't fact. I didn't listen to my thinking that centered in my head. I just didn't listen. I didn't listen to myself. I would talk to myself and I would walk around and I would say, oh, you shut up. You're just my disease. Shut up. You're trying to get me in trouble. I'm going to a meeting. Leave me alone. I'm not listening to you. They told me not to listen to you. You're the stinking thinking committee. And they said to not listen to you. So you shut up. You're just a disease. That's what you are. You're the disease. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to a meeting. And I used to talk to myself out loud in the bus. It don't matter. I was crazy. Even today, sometimes in my home group, the girls be like, damn, Teresa, you were weird. Nobody want to hang out with you. But I used to follow them. I don't care. I will go to the meeting after the meeting. You don't have to like me. I have a desire, okay? I'm an alcoholic and I'm a member. I don't care. That's why people see me. I'm having a good time. I'm always like, hi, hi, because I'm a member. I'm always excited in meetings and everything. This is the one place I could just be. I don't care if you don't like me. I'm a member. You have to help me. I'm an alcoholic. What's going on? I've always had that attitude. What's happening? Where are you going for coffee? What's going on? I don't care. I don't like you either. Let's go. Does it matter? You're a drunk. I'm a drunk. It doesn't matter. Let's go. Get in the coffee shop. I love that about AA. I do. I've always shared that story. I've been to a KKK meeting. I raised my hand. I don't care if you're KKK. You gotta help the Negro today. Okay? Because they say it's an AA meeting. You got 12 steps, 12 traditions. You have to help me. I'm a member. I don't care if you're KKK. You can't do KKK in here. This is an AA meeting. Now I'll leave early. I don't want to get no flashbacks in the parking lot, you know what I mean? But whatever.
That's the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous. It allows me to be of service to you. It allows me to look beyond all those things and to just see you as a drunk. It's about one drunk talking to another. There are no big deals. We get to keep it simple. Like I said, some are sicker than most. I've got, you know, where I got sober, people with strange characters, man. And I have some, you know, sponsees now, they look at them and they go, oh, they crazy. I'm like, that's gross. Honey, you should have seen those 20 years ago. They doing good. They got clean underwear. They got teeth now. Leave them alone. They keep coming back. Leave them alone. I love this program so much. You know, something has happened to me. The message is just that. This program is a miracle. What it does to people like us. The only thing I needed to do was have an open mind, be honest, and just a mustard seed of willingness. Take the action, take the action, take the action. Do what you told me to do. Do what's in front of me, regardless of what I think about it, because I thought, oh, you people are crazy. I did it anyway. Even if it hurt, I did it anyway. And all of a sudden, something happened to Teresa. This girl called Teresa. I heard it was an inside job. You're sick as your secrets. Clean house. Trusting God. Clean house. Trusting God. And it's the other way around. Trusting God and clean house. I love the language of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That is my language. That is what I speak. And I tell people I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm sorry. I don't know another language. I could never give back what Alcoholics Anonymous has done to me. What this loving God has done to me. Do I get frustrated? Absolutely. Do I get tired? Oh, yeah. Do I go, you gotta be kidding me? Absolutely. Do I make mistakes? Of course. So what? I keep doing it anyway. I keep doing it anyway. I keep doing it anyway. You talk about being rocketed into a fourth dimension. If you be new, I cannot explain it to you. That's an experience. My relationship with God today is intense, man. I within myself am nothing. To learn that I'm just a speck among specks. That all the things that I've been through in my life, all the things that I'm going through today ain't got nothing to do with me. It has to do with who I'm going to help. The most selfish, self-centered person has become other-centered. I don't know how not to give this thing away. I be trying, really. I have a lot of passion. People say you're really excited, you're so passionate. I got something to be passionate about. I got something to be excited about. There's a lot going on up in here. On the inside. The sunlight of the spirit burns, you know. And it burns deep and it burns bright. Sometimes it blinds me. And it don't matter what I do yesterday, it don't matter what I'm going to do tomorrow, it only matters what I do right now. I was speaking to a sponsor of mine last night, and he was talking about being in and out 14 years. And he was like, I don't understand how this is your first time, what is it? What is it different about now? I'm like, it ain't never been different. We all got one day. And it all depends on what we do today. I am no different from you. It's just what I've been doing each day. And I've watched you these years, and you listen to your thinking. And you run with it, and I haven't. If I sit in my couch long enough, my head will tell me the world's coming to an end. It does. I sit there long enough, the world's coming to an end, what's the point? We're all going to die. There's no need. I'd be like, what? Look at you. Anyway, I always tell the people of UBNU, I wish I can get deep with you and all philosophical and all that. It ain't that deep, man. It's simple. I was a drunk. I was a mess. I crawled in here. You gave me the big book. You extended your hand. I put one hand in God, one hand in Alcoholics Anonymous, and something happened. That I still look in the mirror and I go, oh my goodness, you sure look familiar. I love this program so much. It affords me the opportunity of change and growth. Sometimes being still and doing nothing is growth. I've been stretched leaps and bounds, man. My spiritual muscles always being stretched. I travel the world without a dime in my pocket. We were talking about that the other night. It's very an interesting relationship. I went to the bank. I got a bank account. They said, who's your employer? I said, God. She typed it in too. She was like, all right. I was serious. You know what I mean? She knew I wasn't playing. I was like, God's my employer. But I send him memos from time to time. We have a few meetings. There's a couple of things I need to discuss with him. But if you need a letter from him, he will send you one. I just get to be of service. I am a servant. I've been thinking about that prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. I'm just a channel. I identify. Ralph was having, Sandy was sharing today on the steps. I live in that, man. I live in that. I'm a spirit having a human experience. I'm no longer trying to write the script and run the show. You know, I'm an observer. I get to witness. Sometimes I get in it, and that's when it gets all messed up. That's okay, too. I found out God don't make no junk. I'm one of his favorites. You know, the funny thing is, it's like a typical parent, right? They tell me, you're one of our favorites. And then he goes and tells you, you're one of my favorites. So we're all one of God's favorites. My time is about out. It's really simple. I don't know. It's simple. When you think you know, you find out you don't know. If you be new, it seems like I'm a big shot up here, but really I'm not. I just have a story. There's one person in here that God believes needs to hear the story. And so if you're new, I came here for you. It doesn't help that you're in Miami. All I know is that I'm sober today. There's a roof over my head, food in my stomach, clothes on my back. I don't ask for a lot. All I know is that I have a hand, and I'm responsible to carry the message to those still sick and suffering. All I've come to understand is that there is a God. I'm never going to know him. It's too big. All I've come to understand is that this too shall pass. I've come to understand that if I don't give it away, I can't keep it. I've come to understand that I've been given a gift. and it's a gift unearned. I want to thank you for the principles you've given me, and you've given me faith and courage and gratitude and integrity. God's helped me to become a lady. People don't take advantage of my body anymore. That may not be a big deal to you, but it's a big deal to me. So if you're new, I just invite you to walk with me, sit with me, hang out. You know, I live in a glass house, man. That's the thing that happens when you're up here, you're far more exposed than most. And I'm grateful for the honesty of this program. I'm like, look at me. You're either going to learn what to be like or what not to be like. I'm available. I ain't got that much power today. I just want to thank you all for loving me. I want to thank you for allowing the God in you to help find the God in me, so that I in return can help assist you find the God within you. I used to hear Marcy say this, and I'm going to end. It used to mean so much to me. She used to always say, you have this little light inside of you. This light that's just waiting to just grow. I used to hear that. I'd be like, I got a little light inside of me. If you knew, you got a little light. And we just want to remove the stuff. And as we do that, the light grows brighter and brighter and brighter. So I guess just being sober ain't only it, huh? So again, if you're new, welcome. If nobody told you they love you, I do. And I just ask you to look at me. Just look at me. I know you see God, and I don't say it out of arrogance. You know how I know you see God? Because I see God in all of you. And you are my reflection and you are my mirror. For each and every one of you are me. And for that, I am truly grateful for my sobriety and my life. And all I know is I'm going to keep coming back. I'm not going to drink before the meeting, during the meeting, after the meeting. And I'm going to practice these principles in all my affairs to the best of my ability and hang out with people like Ralph to remind me when I ain't. Anyway. Thank you.